You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and this is Andrew Pitzkalis, and we're live on the Wake and Bake Show at an early 4:20 in the morning. I'm getting up early for you motherfuckers on the East Coast so you can enjoy some shit on your way in, and then we're going to replay this again at 7:10 in the morning for my West Coast associates that are just still hitting the after-hour clubs. We got two unbelievably awesome guests today. We got Money B from Digital Underground, and we got Jeremy Williams, three-time heavyweight world champion with us, about to kick it this morning with you guys. Thank you guys so much for coming on today.
What up, man?
That's the deal.
Yo, how you feeling today, Money?
Feeling good, man. You know, sunny LA day.
You gotta love the sunny LA days. Now that we're in January.
Right after Christmas.
Right after Christmas. And it's the new year. How great is it that California is recreational?
It's great for me.
Right? You know? Yeah, it's great for a lot of motherfuckers. Yeah. Why?
It's good for business.
Because it's good for business. And Money jumped into the cannabis game himself and with Digital Underground. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what's going on with you?
Right now, there's a lot of good things going on. Touring and making music with one of the newest members of Digital Underground, Young Hump.
Young Hump, I heard, coming into the mix.
Right, so we got Money B and Young Hump, single out, coming here featuring two short videos on YouTube right now. Of course, we have the great Humpty Sticks, along with Purple Haze Properties.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we really want to get it.
You know, some of our other products. We got
there are also some chocolates, I believe, with the band on it that you could eat.
Digital Underground.
Edible peanut butter
cups.
And caramel.
The suckers.
Yep, suckers.
Caramels.
Caramel. There's all kinds of cool stuff coming out. And we actually featured Digital Underground at the last High Times Cannabis Cup, which was just recently.
Right.
And we were totally blessed with a cavalcade of great celebrities and guys that came by the booth, and we launched the Humpty Stick. And you ask yourself, what is the Humpty Stick? Well, the Humpty Stick is an infused cannabis joint. Okay, and what they do is Digital Underground picked one of their favorite strains that we wanted to roll up for you guys to try.
Right.
And then they take it, and someone actually takes clear oil, okay, which is 98% pure. So for all you guys out there, that's strong as shit. And then they take that and they heat it up, and then they take paintbrushes and they actually paint the oil on the outside of the joint. And then what do? They roll that motherfucker up in keef, but in colored keef, especially for the Humpty Stick.
Sparkles.
Sparkles, man. When you hit that shit, not only are you high, but you see some visualization in that glowing, delicious Humpty Stick.
Yeah, I've been trying to get my sister-in-law to hit it for the last couple of days.
Oh,
we gotta
shit.
Get on it before she gets back to Atlanta.
We gotta do a little influential peer pressure and get her to try.
Especially now you heard the explanation.
Bless
you know what
the
it is.
Family, man. You gotta bless the family. Give
a
little smoky tokie of what's going down for Money B, for sure.
She's gonna spread the word.
Tell everybody also, because I think it's really interesting. What was the experience of actually playing yourself in the All Eyes on Me, the biopic that came out about Tupac? And I don't know how many people out there, all the different millennials and guys going around like, Digital Underground, which guys? Yeah, the guys did the Humpty Dance. Well, did you know that Tupac was actually part of that group? And if you watch the movie, they give a great homage to Digital Underground, and you see Tupac with, you know, he was going through his beginning stages. And I know that Money's got some crazy ass stories about what it was like being around that time, and then also what it's like being in that movie.
Right. Well, first of all, I gotta give a shout out to my mother and father for giving me the looks to actually be able to play myself years later.
Shout out, good genetics in the house right there.
Right. So it was a great experience, man. It was a little surreal, just being able to relive actual moments in your life. You know what I mean?
That's tight.
And, you know, I gotta give a shout out to LT Hutt and Benny Boom and the entire cast and everybody that worked on the film, because they did such a great job of recreating the settings. You know, there's a studio that we recorded, Starlight Studio, where we recorded our original, you know, Sex Packets and all of our first records, Tupac's first record, Raw Fusion. and they made it look just like the studio.
No shit. So and just, I saw the party scenes in that fucking thing, and like how realistic did that whole outlook look too? On top of it,
as far as
like when everybody's recording, you see all these fucking girls and everybody's smoking. It's like fucking looks like a. Like when it, after you're recording like so many hours, there's this like it seems like this like down chill fucking time that goes down there that like seems like is the most memories probably.
It would happen and actually during that time we had Starlight booked for like 2 months straight, like 24 hour blocks. So we were recording, you know, the Digital Underground album, Sons of the Pea. Recording Tupacalypse Now, which was Tupac's first album.
Okay.
Same time recording the first Raw Fusion album, Live from the Stylitron. And there was another group signed to TNT Records called Gold Money. Okay. So our sessions would just run into each other. We all had like 8 hour blocks. So if Tupac was in from midnight to 8 a.m. and I go in at 8 a.m., then whoever was in the session, we just kind of hang out and continue chilling. The party.
Yo, what up?
And it would go until they got tired, and then party would leak into the Digital Underground session.
And I bet you that actually has an influence. Like when you have, and you're in a studio and you're trying to be creative, right? And you got all these people of different influences there, and hopefully most of it's positive energy. But when that happens, it fucking creates this like manifestation of when you listen to these songs. You also have to like take the thought about like what created that coolness to it, and a lot of it I think has to do with those crazy sessions that happen in these studios and stuff, you know.
Well, it was, and then just being where we're from, like you got to remember at the time, late '80s, most of the hip hop groups was, or the popular ones, you know, you had, you know, your LLs, your Big Daddy Kane's, your Chuck D's, the. Most of them were from New York, and what was common about them is that they were all just like super cool and super hardcore. Like it was all about I'm to this, I'm to that, I'm hardcore. And us being from the Bay Area, which is multicultural and is all about just being yourself and being accepted for who you are, you know, we weren't that. We were just about partying and getting high and
hanging out. You and I actually went to Boston.
Right.
And we went to go speak at the cannabis convention. And we went from the sunny California. And we exhibited down there to tell everybody about celebrity licensing and branding. And I think you made a really, really good point about regardless of how hard a lot of these guys were in hip-hop, they didn't go to the hardcore drugs. They embraced the herb. Especially Digital Underground. It wasn't like you guys rapped about gang banging and stuff like that. You talked about socially what I think fun and really like relatable.
Well, things. One thing that was always universal was wherever you went, everybody smoked. You know what I mean? And everybody wanted that Cali weed from Northern California.
Do what you like.
So we were popular wherever we went, you know, because we had it. And you know, like I said, like I don't smoke as much as I did back then, but back then that's kind of like how people don't know that. I used to shop Cypress Hill's demo because I knew those guys through an acquaintance before they came out. So whenever I would go to LA, Sindog would pick me up, and back then you didn't have TSA, so I used to carry all kind of weed on the plane and just bring it down.
Fuck
He picked me up and we ride back down to Southgate smoking and kicking
damn.
It.
Damn.
Hey, and they would just hang out with us.
So this is kind of peaking my mind actually for a second, just because I get into those high moments. Jeremy, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
So when you, obviously being a heavyweight champion, you've gone through years of different music, you know, like, you know, what you work out to and stuff like that. Are you a hip hop man? Like, what's your musical mix when you're fucking
definitely,
working?
Definitely an old school hip hop, Digital Underground for sure. Like that whole East Bay clique was like unique to the sounds that I liked, but you know, I'm more, at the time, I was doing more like P.E. Funk, like Public Enemy, De La Soul, like I'm into
De La Soul is the shit.
Yeah,
you know what? This is where it's cool about the Wake and Bake show is that we are a radio station, so we can, on the fly, do whatever we want. So while we're talking about that, one of the ones I remember from fucking De La Soul when I was a young motherfucker was this one. Remember this one?
Oh, hell yeah.
Takes me back to my fighting days.
Just kick ass in this song?
Oh my god. You know, because of
the rhythm. Like, the rhythm.
I'll punch it.
I can make out to the beat.
My whole idea of fighting was being rhythmic.
Right.
You know, and like being able to. Like, I would train the music.
Yeah.
It would make me fight better, make me fight harder. And so the idea that a song and an influence can remind me of where I want to be in the ring. So I would play this music before I fought, before I trained, during my training.
Sure.
So the music put me into the mindset of fighting, if it makes any sense. That and
cool.
Big Red Gum.
Big Red Gum.
It's crazy. I would chew Big Red Gum. I would
chew it. Wild.
Yeah, I mean, I have these things that take me back to when I fight.
And I think that's true about everything because...
And let's just drop a quick little knowledge to the crowd about Jeremy. Jeremy is known in the boxing world as one of the most feared knockout artists in the heavyweight division of his time, with two of his 35 knockouts coming out before 30 seconds of the first round. Damn! He KO'd Arthur Weathers in 8 seconds on March 19th, 1996, the fastest KO in Cali, the weed state, boxing history, and knocked out Louis Monaco 28 seconds in their second meeting on March 17, 2002. Damn. Williams had knocked out Monaco out in 3 rounds 6 years earlier, and Williams won the WBC Continental America's Heavyweight title twice. Man, that's fucking great.
Give it up.
Hell yeah.
With the golf claps. Give it up. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Oh.
I always wondered this about fighters. You know, because whenever you fight, you kind of want to showcase your talent and kind of let people see you. Now, when you go in the ring and you knock a motherfucker out in like 20-something seconds, are you disappointed that you don't get to do more work sometimes, that you don't get, especially if you know you're probably going to knock him out anyway?
Well, yeah,
or is it like, yeah, fuck that?
It's crazy. The guys that I knew that I was going to blow out,
right?
I would let them hang around for a while.
Yeah.
Until they... And in boxing, we don't say they hit me. They touched me.
Okay.
And like, if he touched me more, like a little harder than I wanted to, then I would stop him. Like,
okay. So how do you know that you're gonna knock somebody out before you even get the ring?
You don't know. You just know what they're susceptible to, and then you work off that.
Is it about preparation, or do you just look at the motherfucker and be like, he weak?
No. Just think about this. Like, Oscar De La Hoya, I've known him my whole life.
Yeah.
120 pounds, arms like pencils.
Right.
One of the hardest punchers out there. It's not about the person, it's about what they have. It's about what they do. It's not about the rapper, it's about the mind.
Right.
You know, it's all about putting together a situation that works for you.
And, okay.
And like, I was a small, you know, heavyweight when I got into the heavyweight division, but like, I didn't give a fuck. I would fight anybody because
okay,
I'm not
so
scared.
That, this is what money, I think it comes down to. And I'm not by any means a fucking expert in boxing at all. But I do have a belief in fucking... Fighters have an animal instinct, literally, yes. As a fighter.
Completely.
And some fighters are more in tune, definitely.
Like, I don't mind hurting somebody.
Yeah, and I think what he's trying to say is that just by rolling around in his experience and his animalness inside of him,
damn.
He can fucking smell the prey. And when someone is weaker than him, you just fucking instinctually know it. Now, he might be surprised. Some guy might come up in the ring with something that threw him the fuck off. Am I not right? You know?
A couple times I was shocked by what the person had.
Right.
And then I had to dig into who I was to make sure that I could beat this bloke. And like at the end of the day, like, I don't give a fuck. I'll fight a gorilla if I had to. You know
what I mean? And do you use you're an advocate? I do, you know, we did stuff with Nick and Nate Diaz. We launched some packs and things with them, and we've been working with Riddick Bowe and a bunch of other athletes now with the company. You're an advocate of CBD, of the plant?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and did you find that that it doesn't have any side effects or anything, and that
you know,
it helps with
the ones that I use are non-psychoactive, you know, like, and maybe there is a little bit of THC in it, but
yeah, tiny.
But for me, I have a family full of addicts.
Okay.
And so for me, I fear that. Because I don't want to be dependent upon anything.
I got you.
You know, no, and no. That's just because of my, I mean, my addiction that runs in my family.
No, I don't know if you do know, and it's more of an educating thing, and honestly, like, that's the great thing about having the radio station is that all you guys listening to your cars, you know, in different states don't really know, like, what is this CBD? What the fuck are they talking about? And what it is the cannabis plant is filled with these molecules called cannabinoids. Now, everybody knows about THC, tetrahydrocannabinoid, okay, or Delta-9, and that's one part of the plant that actually gets you, it's the only one that gets you really high where you're psychoactively high, where you feel kind of fucked up. But you have, you know, CBD, CBN, CBV, there's all these different molecules. So if you go on Google and you type in CBD chart, you're actually going to see all these different ailments that the cannabis plant can help you, whether it's inflammation, bone stimulation, you know, get hungry, for depression, PTSD. So many different applications can be used to the plant, but all the rest of the molecules, all those other homies hanging out in the crowd, they don't get you high. And for, you know, athletes, a lot of the pain they have is inflammation. So by taking CBD and things like that, it helps with that inflammation, you know, and that's where, you know, the plant is very beneficial, but it's part of the cannabis plant, which is crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's just great, I'm sorry. But like, for me, I wake up, I live in pain. And I have a lot of fighter friends that live in pain.
And then they have to turn to opiates and other pills. But I don't know if you even know this, but in Washington, Colorado, Oregon, all the states that became recreational and said, hey, you know what, this plant really isn't that big of a deal. You can fucking go in, tourists, anybody try it out. A couple of things happened, which people don't even think they want to believe, but state by state, it's been happening. It's proof. It's all over the news. You can read about it. Opiate use, oxys, pills, everything going down by like 30% in all of those states within a year of weed being legalized in those states. You know,
that is great.
Most kids don't even, everybody's thinking, oh, it's legal, so everybody wants to fucking smoke. Guess what? Younger kids now, because it's legal, just like alcohol to an extent, they're not even like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. So even young use, they don't see any increases whatsoever based on it. They actually see decreases. So, I mean, there's a lot of education that's about the plant, and I'm glad that gentlemen like yourself are stepping up and money being, you know, really stepping forward to do what they need to do to educate people, because it is a plant that God put in the ground, came from a seed, rose up, and all over the world is a weed. You can't fucking kill it. So there's a reason that it's there for us. You know?
Because I have like CBD tabs at the crib that I just take a couple of days just for overall wellness.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to get my dad, even my wife, to take it. What is that?
What is that? And then what's
like,
funny?
Like, it's not going to get you high. It's
and when they finally try it, they're like, oh, shit.
This well, slow. I sent some, you know, CBD cream to my stepmother, and she just tore a meniscus, actually.
Oh,
but before that, it was just sore, but she, you know, she rubs it on, and she feels better, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's...
Well, you know, my mother died of cancer 9 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was just as this was awakening in California, and she was stereotypical, like, I'm not going to mess with weed, and like, if I would have been as adverse in what weed could do for her,
man,
it would, you know,
let me tell you something, a relative of ours, very close, you know, uncle, has terminal 4 cancer over 2 years, 2.5 years. They said he walked in, didn't even know, he never smoked weed, nothing, never believed in any of that stuff, you know, and he fucking, they said, like, there was nothing to do for you, you're gonna die in 2 months. And he came to me and he was like, man, what am I gonna do? I was like, listen, you gotta try this stuff, you know, he's a businessman or this stuff. He started taking it for 6 months without doing chemotherapy with it, and actually took his levels down almost in half.
Man, it's now
2.5 years later, and that was him that you saw who I walked out, who just came here
really?
Before you guys fucking came here.
Nice.
Yeah,
bro.
Wow. 2.5 years later, was supposed to be dead in the ground fucking a long time ago, and he's walking around because of taking the medicine and also working it with chemotherapy, and it was able to keep him to not... Well, he said be nauseous when he was taking those the drip and things. And you know, in the combination, like I said, a lot of the doctors and the oncologists and different people were stupefied about it. And I have case after case after case after case after case after that.
And, you know, in the future, there will be more. And the more people work at it, the more it's going to be prevalent in our system. You know, big pharmacy, they got billions of dollars into making sure that people don't use cannabis.
Well, you'll notice the more that they can control it and that they make money off of it,
yes,
then it'll become more and more.
Yeah, so from, you know, Rolling Stone magazine, right? This is fucking wild here. Last year, a pharmaceutical company called Insys Therapeutics gave $500,000 to the campaign to stop marijuana legalization in Arizona. The Phoenix-based company's flagship product is a prescription opiate spray made from fentanyl, an incredibly addictive and deadly drug estimated to be 50 times stronger than heroin. Cannabis, Insys knew, could disrupt the $24 billion market for painkillers and cost them business. After all, cannabis is now being used to treat many of the problems for which opiates are prescribed. Back pain, arthritis, basically any kind of chronic discomfort. And there are some pretty convincing reasons why someone in pain might choose cannabis over opiates. Opiates are, what, physically addictive and can kill you. Cannabis has never killed anyone, and the withdrawal is mostly psychological. And you have to consume, just so you know, like 1,500 pounds of weed or something like that in like 1 hour to die.
Yeah.
You know, can't even do it. What happens is you'll eat a bunch of it and you'll get really sick, probably nauseous, trip out a little bit. But then you're going to pass the fuck out and you're going to have the best sleep of your life probably, but you're going to sleep for like a day or two. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the reality is, man, big pharmacy is doing everything it can to stop the growth and the spread of medicinal cannabis. But on the other side of that is up north, they're buying land everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, they're buying
dirt fucking everywhere.
Do you know Corona did a deal in Canada? Canada's going legal. And I didn't even know this, but I don't know if you guys knew that. Canada's a smart motherfucker, especially that young president rolled in. That guy is a pimp. Like, I got to give my props out to that Justin Trudeau, whatever. First of all, the government runs the alcohol. Do you know that all the shops that sell alcohol in Canada are actually run by the fucking government? That is pimp status, right? Well, now they know that weed is going to be even more money to the Canadians. Those motherfuckers love weed, right? And now they kicked out all the dispensaries that were starting because, what? When it goes legal, all the dispensaries in Canada are going to be run by the government.
Right.
So, like, how much fucking money are they going to make on pioneering on that shit? That's fucking nuts.
Damn.
Yeah, but they've been lenient on cannabis in Canada for years.
Oh, yeah. They have been, for sure.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think America needs to grow up and give it the big boys.
Hell yeah. So money.
Yeah.
There is not, come on, in honor of all these guys here, we got to puff down a little bit for sure on the radio. So what do you want to bake, wake and bake for our early morning risers? What is your selection of music? Give me the song you would bump to right now. Let's throw something on the floor.
Put on Scarface, Mary.
Scarface,
Mary. Mary, 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 Mary.
Mary Jane, Mary. Or is it called, which one is this?
Is that Scarface?
Yeah,
play it. Yep,
that's
Mary Jane. All right. Happy just to hear your name.
Let's hear it.
Oh. Sit right there. Yep. And this is not the Ashanti version. This is the OG.
OG?
Yes.
That's what we want to put on. It's fucking light it up. Thank you guys for coming. Hey, Money, tell everybody what else has been going on with you and stuff for sure.
We got the new website. DUmerch.com, which brings you all of the Digital Underground merchandise. We'll also have some of our, the maps to all of our products from the site eventually. Yeah.
And
and
you have a coin. Let's talk
about the Money B coin.
Money B currency.
Everybody's talking about the
you into cryptocurrency, that Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin.
You trying to get that shit that's like $12,000? Nope.
Nah, you create your own
only
lane.
Only special people get to create their own lane.
Create your own lane. And, you know, one of the advantages of the Money Beat Coin is that there'll be things available to you that you can only get with the Money Beat Coin. You'll get access to events, you'll get memorabilia that I only have that
and
I'll
you
be
can
offering.
Only get if you get the Money Bee coin. You know, so this is the thing with Bitcoin and all this Ethereum and all that stuff you guys are trying to figure out.
Right.
I'm gonna go on eBay and I'm gonna go buy a $12,000 server and I'm gonna hook that up in my house and I'm gonna try to run that motherfucker and I'm gonna try to make money. Well, yeah, that stuff's all crazy. People are hacking into shit, there's no stability. It's some crazy ass shit. But this particular coin, the Tau coin, XTO, that you can purchase and has been around for 2 years now, is going to be doing celebrity coins. It's something tangible. It's going to be all the different celebrity artists that are coming out, and they're going to give their fans an opportunity to buy that celebrity's coin to get to do special shit that no one else gets to do. Limited stuff, way to buy stuff, all kinds of stuff. And you could buy it as a fan, and then when everybody keeps using the coin, what happens? You'll all make money.
Right.
More than a bank account at 5% or whatever the fuck they give you.
Yeah,
you're going to be buying the money Bitcoin, and you're going to see a year later that you bought all this cool shit from money from the profit.
Right.
Literally. Right? From the profit.
Get
money.
My coin, bitch.
Money. Why don't you tell everybody about 8 weeks ago how much your coins, when we gave you a little coin gifting, how much was that shit around?
It was like 21 cents a coin.
And then what did it jump up to in a 2 month period?
It was like $198?
$198. And we just getting started.
We're just getting started.
We got the alcoholics coin coming out. We're gonna
you
have
you motherfuckers didn't give me
coin.
A goddamn thing, bro.
We got a coin coming out with Frank Shamrock. We got tons of cool celebrity coins.
We need
coming
to get
out.
Some
Absolutely.
Jaws coins out.
Yeah,
bro.
And I haven't even really been going hard about letting people know about it. I'm just sitting
there. No, but we're allowed to simmer it up.
We're putting it in motion.
We're putting it in motion like the ocean, baby.
And it's crazy when you ask because I got so much going on. I have my book, my autobiography
that's
coming out.
That's great. Yeah.
Very soon, Hype Man the Money Bee story.
Hell yeah. Yes.
You know, I've done
so much. And there is some great digital underground fucking apparel company that's been leaking out to Zoomies.
Oh, yeah,
and Walmart and different places.
Exactly.
You know, the band, after the movie came out, popularity started cracking. Cannabis line started cracking. Money's doing shit with Too Short. He's rolling around like a pimp, huh?
Yeah.
Rolling with Young Money, making his thing, doing his thing.
Look out for my new artist that I manage as well, Lil Mikey TMB.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he got songs with 21 Savage.
Nice.
Hill Rich Homie Quan.
Nice.
It's a bunch of motherfuckers, you know what I mean? He's out there doing it, but he's for the, like you said, for the younger crowd.
Hell yeah.
You know, that's into that, but he definitely is that guy. He's doing shit coming out. And then bringing it full circle, obviously, you know, we got the...
Oh, yeah.
Got the strawberry KYB in the nose, you know, that's the
The strawberry
THC.
Kiss flavored.
The strawberry
kiss you
back.
Kiss
yes.
you back, take you back to the digital underground days, to
THC
the song,
oil
inspired.
Cartridges, you know, so I know I'm forgetting something, man. I just try to keep myself busy.
And then Jeremy,
stay grounded.
Jeremy, the wild champion that he is, turns around like an entrepreneur.
Right.
And creates a security company. Because obviously when you're a big motherfucker like that, you want to be security. But it's even pimper these days. See, people can work in all kinds of jobs. You could be working in the mall. You could be doing all kinds of stuff. Just like I told you, somebody's job is to literally paint cannabis oil on joints. Can you imagine? That's your fucking job. But Jeremy decides to pioneer and said, well, you know what? All these dispensaries, they need some fucking... big motherfuckers security because they're doing millions of dollars a month.
All cash.
So all cash. Don't even go to the bank because the banks won't take your money. I don't believe you. Colorado, you hear $1 billion, $2 billion in reported sales. And they collected that money and they're doing free schools and they're changing the roads and they're giving money. In Colorado, they made so much money, they actually had to give, did you hear this shit? A check back to everyone in the state of Colorado.
Damn.
They all got a check back. I mean, even if it was $10, who gives a fuck? When did that ever happen?
No, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, Colorado's a fucking metropolis now. Or Denver, I should say. You know,
Denver,
overcrowded.
Denver, but everyone knows that every report out there says January 1st, the motherfucking mecca of the world is Southern Cali.
But don't get twisted. It's not going to open up on January 1st.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. They already announcing it, and they already announced the 10 counties and all the people that can legally go in there. And I do sit on advisory boards and this, and it is a fact. January 1st, get ready. All the tourists, you can come out now. It's January anyway, and see yourself that it has happened, that it's recreational, that you can actually go. There's 10 counties that have approved recreational. And try to go up on the news, go on Google, check it out. Southern Cali is for sure one of those places. I believe Eureka, California up north. And there's 10 regions that are recreational. So you got to hit up those counties and you can do your motherfucking thing on January 1st, that's for sure.
Andrew, let me put you on blast for a second.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell them about some of the things that you want to do as far as opening up the... can you talk about it?
So I hope and pray that Purple Haze Properties ends up being one of the 7 applicants approved to do a recreational consumption lounge here in West Hollywood. And if that goes down, Purple Haze Lounges will be born. A giant concert hall, restaurant, 1,000-person private nightclub.
You can smoke in it.
Yes, and there'll be a hotel and spa and all kinds of cool ass stuff that we're for sure are gonna enjoy. So if God willing, we are one of those people picked to get that license, then you're gonna be able to come into the beautiful state of California and try our products in the club. But if not, you can still check out Money B and all the different celebrity packs we have. Jimmy, Jack Herrera, the Alcoholics, fucking all these different fighters. Check out on our website, purplehazeproperties.com, and hit up all the celebrities we're doing. Check us out on Facebook. Money, why don't you let everybody know your stuff, and William, why don't you, Jeremy, why don't you hook up everybody with your info to your Instagram, your Facebook. Why don't you, Money, let everybody hear
on first. Social media, it's at MoneyB69. That's across the board. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I don't be on Snapchat, but I got it.
Yeah, that Snapchat's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. It's like too much to even worry about that shit. That's fucking nuts. But those of you who are Snapchat, who are Snapchatting all over the world, thinking you're all private and shit, just remember that Big Brother was so happy that you decided to do that type of shit. Because if you don't think that somewhere they're not recording
every single thing you ever did.
It never goes away.
It's a footprint on all of
that. That's the footprint-opolis right there.
Let me finish. So. On Facebook, you know, it's the Digital Underground Facebook fan page, and it's the Money B fan page. And then please check out moneybeatyounghump.com, which all things Money B and Young Hump, and whatever's new happening with Digital Underground. So I can be found, man. I ain't hard to find.
I know you ain't hard to
find. So for me, it's Jaws, J-A-W-Z. Better than that big ass shark, but it's Jaws Protection Service. Like, check me out, Jaws, Jeremy Williams at Gmail. Williams spelled with a Z. You know, I'm doing security for all the dispensaries. I'm the number one pick. When you open your store and you need it to be secured, I'm in the business 10 years now.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? I'm doing security.
So is it wrong for me to ask, just out of curiosity, would it be unethical to like break down like a situation that could have arose that was real heavy one time, or that, you know, went down with or your guard, so people could understand how, like, what risk these people take by opening a dispensary to give you this medicine and give you this great experience? They're also risking their lives and every single person that works in that place. So you got to give props. Let's give props out to all the dispensary workers, security guards. Let's break it down
I'm doing security, you know, from all the way from Northern California down south, Mission District in San Francisco. But we had a place in Riverside that it was open. You know, Riverside was like kind of like the Wild West in Europa Valley. And come like 3:00 in the morning on closing time, 3 heads walked in. I had 2 guards on the job, armed guards on the job. Then they had 3 butt tenders, you know, because it was just that busy that late at night.
Right.
And 2-3 heads walked in, pulled a pistol, started shooting out everything. And one of my guys got hit. Two of my guys shot the other guys. Didn't kill them, but injured them enough so that when the police came, they were able to stay there and arrest them. That being said, like these things can happen at any point. You know, you can get robbed. You can get robbed, and it's not even by gun. You can get robbed. Somebody come in and they'll finger some, a pack you got on the counter. So, for security, it's not just a big old fat dude sitting in the corner with a gun and a top hat drinking a Pepsi. It's not that. It's like active guards. You need people who are going to be your guards to be fit and aware of what's going on. Right. Like when you guys are on the road, your bodyguards, they have to know the situation they're in. Exactly. And what I've been doing security for cannabis dispensaries and grow houses for so long. Like, I know what the protocol is. I know what some of the holes are.
And aren't there people that actually, pretend to be DEA agents and fake police and shit try to come in and do shit, too?
Yeah. See, I have another set of my company where we do all the check-in. There's a guard doing all your check-ins so that we're verifying your recs. We're verifying your IDs. We're making sure that the things that you give us are authentic. So we're calling... the place that you got your rec from, the doctor's office there. So JAWS Security does what you shouldn't have to do, you as the owner. You as the owner, you should know that your store is protected and is everybody who's coming in is verified. We have BARC, which is down on La Cienega and San Vicente.
Yeah, shout out to BARC.
BARC, that's my boy.
And give their address because those guys actually carry a bunch of our celebrity stuff. You can get their lollipop.
So shoot the BARC at 432 South San Vicente.
South San Vicente. So when you're coming into the beautiful recreational state of you California, walk in and, you can walk right in. And you can walk in, stay low.
You'll see one of my JAWS guards there.
Say hello to one of the JAWS guards. And fucking try some of... Money Bees, Digital Underground joints and shit.
We got everything.
We got all over at BARC, actually. So we're actually all over Southern California, which is cool. Definitely.
Yeah. So the thing is, if you're starting this bitch, you go to Jeremy Williams, spell Williams with a Z, jeremywilliams@gmail.com. Look me up. I'll come in. I'll assess your property and see if we can put people there that can help. And it's not just dispensaries. That's what I specialize in. But Frank Grillo. I do bodyguard work for him. I have another company called Champion Security who we do personal bodyguard work. And for the weekend, for the night, for the month, for the year, whatever it takes. And the prices are affordable. They're reasonable, but I have insurance to pay and all that bullshit. So, it's about getting the best service for the person that I'm doing security for.
So, it was so fucking great having you guys get up. Thank you, Champion. He's used to get up early in the morning, but Money gave me props. I don't even know if you might have even been staying out all night when you came here at 4:20 in the morning. But man, it's great, man. Thank you guys for everybody who's listening, driving their cars on the way in the morning. Listen, if your day seems a little glum, just always remember that the weed is your friend, is there to help you. And when you got a boss who's like driving you crazy and fuck man, I can't even take this motherfucker today because I have all this shit going on in my life, just remember you could just chill, take a few deep breaths, and then on your break, go smoke some weed.
And then also, they have to look out for my show that's coming.
Yeah, check out Money B's show. Tell them about it quick, because you're going to be rolling on once a week, hearing all kinds of great guests that Money has on his hip-hop and cannabis show. Tell them.
Smoke and the Studio. It's coming.
Give them a little preview.
Hip-hop, cannabis, where they meet. It's going to be smoking.
It's
how about
be
that?
Smoking hot. And you're going to get to hear way more of Money's favorite tunes. Fucking cool stories of him being on the road for over 20 years. What are you rocking now?
89, that'll be 29 years.
Wow. 30 years. Yeah. 30 years.
I've been doing this.
He's still doing it.
For 30 years and I still at 35.
Because because tell me it's not also because of the weed. Tell me that. Even Steve Perkins, we've got Jane's Addiction, is another group that we have. He's 50-something years old. He comes in the office and shit. And I said, dude, how the fuck you look so goddamn good?
Yeah, I'm definitely fermented.
It's the cannabis,
fermented,
man. It's the fucking weed.
Fucking weed.
That heals us. The drink.
When you're having fun, you stay young. That's what I say.
When you're having fun,
Less stress.
You stay young. That's the fucking words of the day. Good morning, guys.
No mess.
Wake and bake. If you're just getting out of bed, smoke it, toke it. Smoke it and toke it and enjoy it, whether it's some hash, puff, whether it's some
puff,
weed.
Give.
Puff, puff, tough, whether it's a little hash, little weed, a crumple in a bowl, mix it around, do whatever it is that you do. You guys have a wonderful day, and come wake and bake with us on the next session, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.